It is always a gift for me to be able to worship and give thanks to God with different congregations. I've been here before, actually. When Pastor Jennifer left, I came as part of her farewell service. And so maybe you see me and you say, oh yeah, she looks familiar, so that might be why. I serve as our synod's, what we call the director of rostered leadership. So whenever there's a transition, an opening, I work with congregations through that whole process. And so I've been journeying with Pastor Tom and in conversation with him, and I am so glad that you have now Kim with you in this new position, and what a gift that is that you will be to this congregation. So when looking at our gospel readings, I like to look at some the larger context of our scriptures, because often it gives an insight into a particular passage that you might not know if you just take that passage alone. You can tell that Sabbath is one of the issues in this particular reading today. And just to put it in a context of the Gospel of Luke, this is the sixth out of seven times that there's a story that the writer of Luke is saying, talking about the Sabbath. It is the fourth of five healing stories that happen on the Sabbath. If you know, Luke was written about 70 years after Jesus had come and died and risen. And there, as they're sharing the story of Jesus, some folks were wondering, how in the world could Jesus be the Messiah if he was killed on a cross? And we're not so sure that we believe that that would be God's chosen and anointed. So, of course, the Gospels are the laying out the story to help people understand maybe it's not what you were expecting, this kind of Messiah. And so one of the ways that Luke is really trying to prepare people for this amazing story is to say, Jesus, all along, who had power and authority to heal, also healed on a Sabbath, when you never expected that that would be okay, right? The rules and the laws that were set up were being done a little different than they expected. That didn't mean that Jesus didn't honor the history and tradition. It just means that he's challenging, are you focused in the right place? All right, so just hold that thought as we dig into this text. Are you focused in the right place? Is what the laws are to be about what you are living? All right? So Jesus, here in this text, is in a synagogue. He is teaching. And people come from all over to hear him because he has a power and authority to reveal what it is that God is about in the scriptures in a way that people say, wow, we want to listen to him more. He's in the synagogue on a Sabbath, and then what we hear is just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over, quite unable to stand up. Another way of interpreting this phrase, bent over, in the Greek could also be bent out of shape. Bent out of shape. Sometimes if you think of when we get frustrated with things, do you ever hear that phrase? Well, she was really bent out of shape today, right? She wasn't her normal self today, or he was really angry. He was so angry he was bent out of shape. Can you imagine? I don't know what it would look like. You're bent out of shape. It's not what you're expecting. Isn't that interesting? They were not expecting Jesus to come and to be a Messiah in a different way of serving. Instead of, they wanted him to lord it over, right? The Romans, to take back the throne. That's what they were expecting. Bent out of shape. Your expectations of how God's going to work and bring salvation are changing. So this woman comes into the synagogue. She is bent out of shape. Jesus saw her. And this is an important one. Jesus saw her and called her over. He recognized her, realized something is wrong with her, and invites her over and usually, if you pay attention to a lot of the healing stories, somebody asks for Jesus to have mercy or recognizes the power that Jesus has, right? And then says, if you want to, you could heal me. Usually there is a request. In this case, isn't it interesting? There's no request. Jesus just brings her over and he simply tells her, woman, you are set free from your ailment. Lays hands on her. Whoop. She's no longer bent out of shape. She is standing tall and praising God. Jesus takes the initiative on this Sabbath, right? It's not quite the healing stories we expect, to kind of point out, you know, people, are you really understanding what the Sabbath is about? When we are lifting up our praises to God, remembering that we are a community of the people of God, and that there are people that need healing and wholeness among us. In fact, it's not going to come the way you expect, but it's going to be seeing one another, right? It's going to be seeing one another, and in the name of Jesus, we are healed. We are not bent out of shape anymore. We are restored to how we are to be in relationship with God. Of course, you know, the people in the synagogue were indignant. The leaders, we hear, how come he had to do that on the Sabbath? He could have just waited a little bit of time and then he wouldn't have caused all this uproar, right? Have you ever run into people that kind of say, if you would have just followed the rules, everything would have been fine. Now you're messing it all up. Yeah, right? Sometimes we need to be a little bit challenged in our assumptions, right? Of what's good order. And we find out maybe we've gotten so focused on good order that we've missed the purpose of the order is to bring healing and wholeness, right? Sometimes our good order can get a little bit unordered so that the Holy Spirit and Jesus can work for healing and that we can be standing up again instead of bent over and bent out of shape. She is a daughter of Abraham. She is one of the Jewish people. Why was she set apart and ignored? Sometimes in Jesus' day, if something was wrong with someone, it was assumed somebody did something terrible. There was a sin that either happened that they did or their parents did. And that's why they're in that situation. And sometimes that was then just left, as there's nothing we can do. Jesus also challenges that, right? And says, yes, there is lots we can do. We can see them, and we can reach out to them, and we can offer whatever healing and wholeness we can in the name of Jesus. And it's surprising how many can stand up and no longer be bent out of shape. It's exactly this challenge is what, if we go back to our the passage from Isaiah, Jesus is doing exactly what's lifted up there in Isaiah. Instead of pointing a finger or speaking evil, I'm inviting you to offer food to the hungry, to satisfy the needs of the afflicted. When you do that, your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your needs in parched places. Make your bones strong. You are going to be like a watered garden, and there will be a spring of water whose waters never fail. That's what you're like when you see one another, and you don't point fingers and speak of evil, but you feed the hungry and help those who are afflicted. Then you will be like the people that will be repairers of the breach. Your ancient cities will be rebuilt. The foundations will rise up for many generations. You will be the restorer of streets to live in. There's lots of places that need restorers of streets to live in, right? I live in Sherman Park in Milwaukee. And how many of you have heard the name Sherman Park recently? Kind of can't help but to, right? I've lived there for 20 years, and I served a parish in Sherman Park, until I received this call to work in our synod office. And while I have seen an increase of challenges in the community that are very disheartening, it is not the whole of the community. It is not everything that the community is about. And so while what happened last weekend is deeply troubling to me and makes me deeply sad, I also recognize it's not the whole picture. And what I've started to see is that people just want to be seen. They want to be seen as part of the whole community, and that it's easy to just label another and then ignore. A confession in my 20 years of living in the community, in the last year and a half, because I haven't been connected in the congregation locally, but I just live in the city and then go to work, I started disconnecting with some of the events happening in the community and don't have the same network that I would have thought would be right there and easy to connect with. I started hearing some of the events that were happening in my neighborhood and started to feel afraid, so much so that I stopped going out maybe in the later evening just to go for a walk, worried about my daughter who is a teenager and not wanting her to go out by herself farther than just where our house is. I've always had the mantra that I refuse to be afraid, but I'm going to be smart. You know, most of us would say that. But I started to hear news and disconnect and started to feel more anxious. My son came home from college last May, and we had two cars, and with my husband's work and my son's work and my work, we had to figure out how we were going to get three people to different places with two cars. Have you ever run into that transportation challenge? So as I looked at it, I realized, you know, I do have a bike, and I know this is a biking community, at least I see you have bike events and gatherings, so maybe you can relate to this. I said, I can ride to work. It's a 5-mile ride. I had always driven, and to work is the Synod office at this point, and but to get there would be having to go through a lot of these city streets where I thought, oh, this makes me anxious. And I decided I'm not going to be anxious. And what I discovered on those bike rides, it took me a while to get there because I'm not that great of a bike rider, is that most people were just trying to get their families to work, get their children to school. I saw expressions of love and care as older siblings would accompany their younger siblings to the bus stop to go to school. As people waited at bus stops, just laughter. I would acknowledge people as I'm riding my bike, just hi, hi. And most people just responded with a smile or a joy, or what are you doing riding down my side street? Beautiful places of gardens and welcome, as people would just say, you know, wave to me if they were on their porch. It transformed my fear into saying, Kristen, it's about seeing one another, isn't it? It's about seeing past the overall label and trying instead to say, where are we bent out of shape? Where instead can we offer love and hope, just even in our one-on-one relationships and connections? I'm so glad that that was my experience a couple months ago, because it really helped me in this last week to remember that even in the midst of when it feels like everything's going totally bent out of shape, that indeed it is about seeing one another. I know that you have amazing partnerships with a lot of ministries in the Milwaukee area. I am so grateful for that. You do awesome, awesome work. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Whether it's Serenity Inn or with the Bread of Healing, or whether it's at Hephatha or any of the other ministries, thank you for being willing to see people and to be willing to say, we can be about restoring the streets to live in. I pray that that continues, and that whatever happened in this last week, if there's fear that has built up, or if you're now thinking, it's a lost cause, please don't buy into that stereotype. I know there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of pain, but we really do need one another. That's exactly what Jesus is inviting us into in this passage too, that on our when we are in relationship with one another and in the name of Jesus, healing and wholeness and standing up straight and praising God is possible. I also know that we all have our own things that make us bent over and make us bent out of shape. So I tell you today, too, it's not just about another. This story and this message is for you today, wherever those places are where you are feeling or experiencing being bent over. And you need to hear, too, that Jesus sees you and says, you are children of Abraham, you are children of God, loved and worthy of being included. Receive my gift of grace and stand up. Stand up and be whole, and praise God, for you are loved. What an awesome message, isn't it? Something that we need to remember all the time. On the Sabbath, every day of the week, we can see one another in the name of Jesus, give praise and thanks to God. Amen.